Tonight's share is sponsored by Mike Rosenberg, Lila Nishmas's grandmother, Chaya Bashra Binyamin Zev. She was nifta this past week, and Hashem Shah Haban Aliyah.
Okay, fine. Yeah. A good to work, everybody. Last week we left off where Shmuel comes to the sons of Yishai, and he sees the oldest son, Eliyahu, and he thought to himself, this must be him. He was tall and good-looking, and he would be the proper person. He was a man of stature to be the king of Klal Yisrael. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, Al tabet al marehu vel gvoya kaimosei, do not look at his height, do not look at his handsomeness, kimi astiyu, I have discarded him. Ki lo yasher yira ha'odom, it's not the way a person sees, ki ha'odom yira le'inayim, v'ashem yira le'levav. So we spoke about the fact that this was a teichachet to Shmuel for the fact that he once said, anoichi haraya, I am the seer. Hashem was telling him that you're not able to see everything. I just wanted to mention an interesting gemara in Bava Basra, that Yudah Midbeis, about how things are not always the way they seem on the outside. There's a gemara in Bava Basra, that Yudah Midbeis, that says, Rav Yosef Bereder of Yeshua Cholash. He fell ill, injured, and he lost consciousness. And his neshama went up to Shemayim. When he came back down to himself again, Omar le'avua ma'ichazis, what did you see up there? So he said, Olam hafuch ra'isi. I saw an upside down world. El yayim lamata. People that down here are considered choshev, up there they're not considered very choshev. V'tachtoinim lamayla. And people that down here are not so choshev, up there they're considered more choshev. In other words, we don't have the right vision over here of who's choshev and who's not choshev. So on my way, his father told him, Olam borur ra'isa. You saw the clear world up there. Down here, you know, fanciness and glitz and other things play a role in who's considered choshev. And even in ruchnius, you can't always really tell who's the most choshev a person. Up there, you can't fool anybody. Up there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yira Lalevav. Now, Parshat Pshat, you would think that down here, it's the wealthy people, it's the people, that the movers and shakers, they're the ones that carry weight down here, and tell me the Chachamim, that's what it's talking about. But Tosfos brings down that there's a Kabbalah that amongst Talmidei Chachamim themselves, down here, one Talmud Chacham could be considered more kosher, and up there it's the opposite. So Tosfos brings down over there a pshat from Rabbeinu Chananel. The Gaonim said that they have a Kabbalah. From there, in Dor V'Dor, they have a Kabbalah. So what did he see that was upside down over here? Down here, Rav Yehuda was the Talmud of Shmuel. You find Keseder in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was the Talmud of Rav, and when Rav was Nifter, he went over to learn by Shmuel. But up in Shemayim, Rav Yehuda sat in front, and Shmuel sat in front of him as a Talmud of Meirav. To Pella the Kazakh. Why? So he brings down, because there's a Gemara that says, it's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, that one time Shmuel was sitting with his Talmud Rav Yehuda, and a woman came to him, she said, please take care of my, she had something to be taken care of, a psach din, that she felt was urgent. And Shmuel sort of like ignored her. So Rav Yehuda told his Rebbe Shmuel, bless Lay Lamar, don't you hold of the pasuk, oitem ozna yizak as dao? Someone that refrains from hearing the cry of the poor, gabhu yikrav lo yayana, he also will call out and he won't be answered. Don't you hold of that pasuk? So because Rav Yehuda taught Shmuel to adhere to that pasuk, he became the Rebbe and Shmuel became the Talmud up there. It's for the point. There are literally hundreds of Maimorim of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Keseder, you find that in Shas. One time, Rabbi Yehuda, he corrected his Rebbe and he said, you don't hold of someone that holds back his ears. You don't hold of that. Because of that, he became the Rebbe. What's the pshat? So I once heard from one of my Rabbeim, I'm going to Yitzchak Noda, Shlita, Shabbat Rafur Shalema. He said, you see from over here, that the Ikar and Shamayim is Midas. Rabbi Yehuda quoted Shmuel, usually was the Halacha de Kizach. But over here was a matter of Midas. And Midas of listening to the cry of the poor, that is Machriya everything. Vaisteis and Shamayim, if a person teaches somebody else something when it comes to Midas, that has the most Chashivas up there. But at Heichen Advarim Magia, that someone who's the Rebbe, but got to be everything else, in Shamayim, they have a different look. So, Oilam Bora Ra'i says what his father told him. You saw the clear world up there. Down here, you're not able to see things clearly. Hashem Yirul Alevav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees through the depths of the heart. So we're holding in Kapitel Tezayin, Pasuk Ches. Vayikra, so Eliyahu, he failed the test. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has discarded him. Vayikra Yishai al Avinoda. So Yishai called the next son Avinoda. Vayavireyu lufnei Shmuel. And he brought him in front of Shmuel. Vayaymer and Shmuel said, Gam bazeh leibachar Hashem. This one also Hashem did not choose. How did Shmuel know this? Before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him beferish. Al tabeit al mareyu. But here it does not say that Hashem said anything. So how does Shmuel know, and by the subsequent sons that he passed in front of Shmuel, we don't find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said anything at the time. It just says, Gam bazeh leibachar Hashem. How does Shmuel know this? So the Radak speaks out because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him in the beginning, you will anoint the one that I will tell you to anoint. So by the others, Hashem did not say a word. Memela Shmuel knew that these are not the ones. So why by the first one, Eliyahu, did Hashem have to say the favors? Kima Ashiyu, Zokter Radak, for two reasons. Number one, Shmuel thought this was the one. He looked at his beauty, he looked at how tall he was, so Hashem had to tell him, no, this is not the one. But number two, Hashem wanted to give him Teichacha, he wanted to give him Musar. Anoichi Haraya, you said, so he gave him Musar. Don't look at the externals, you know, look at the Pnimius. But that was only by the first one. He gave him the Musar already, came by the others. As long as Hashem did not speak, he knew that this was not the one. And finally, we'll see, when it came to David, Hashem said, oh, this is the one, we'll come to David soon. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Pesachim, Daf Samach Vav Amid Beis, that makes a diuk in the Pesachim. Before by Eliyahu it says, Al Tabeit El Mareyu, Kima Astihu, I discarded him. By the others it says, Bazeloi Bachar Hashem. It's Mashma that originally Eliyahu, if you discarded him, Mashma to begin with, he was fit to be the king. In order to be discarded, you have to be in the beginning, you have to have shaykhs, you have to have the connection to being the king. So the fact that it says kima astiu, it implies that originally Eliyahu was fit for the throne, he was fit for the malchus, kima astiu, but I discarded him. By the others it says, v'ybachar Hashem. Hashem did not choose these. What is the difference between the two? So the Gemara says, apparently, Eliyahu was fit to be the king. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he detected that there was a mida of anger that was grown within him, and it didn't come out yet. It first came out later on the front, like we mentioned later, he got angry at David. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu noticed that the mida of anger was grown within him, kima astir, I discarded it. And the Sefer Mishpat Seizov says, you see from here a tremendous limud, that a person could be already a Baal Madrega. He could have attained greatness. At today, we can't imagine what it means to be fit for the throne. To be fit to be a Melech Yisrael, you have to be an Odom Gadol Ad Ma'ay. The home of Yishai was not a simple home. Yishai, Chazal say, had 600,000 followers. Can you imagine somebody with a chassidus, with a following of 600,000 people, used to have them following him all the time, and he was their Rebbe. And Eliyahu grew up in such a house. Eliyahu was great. The Afal Pi Kein, a person could attain greatness, and he's fit to be the king, the Afal Pi Kein, it's possible to lose that madrega. And that's something that the Sfarim tell us, a person has to be on constant guard against the Esahar. You could attain greatness and Afal Pi Kein lose it. The Gemara tells us about Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, in the times of Bayesheni, for 80 years he was Shimesh B'Tahara. He went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim 80 times. 80 years. To be able to make it out alive, you have to be a tremendous Baal Madrega. The Afal Pi Kein, with the Soyz Yomov, he was Nasir Tzeduki. He went over to the side of the Tzedukim. And you see that even a person later on in life, you would think that once a person is so old, he already attained his madrega for 80 years, Afal Pi Kein, that Yetzer Hara was always out to get somebody. I heard from the Einikel of an Adam, Godel Admei, from the G'dayli Adar. And the only reason I don't mention his name is because he told this to me in a conversation. I'm not sure that he would want me to say it over Barabbas. But this is an Adam Godel Admei, from the G'dayli Adar. And when he was already in his 90s, he told his grandson, he says, I have to go already. I have to leave this world. So he says, Zayde, why? So he says, it's getting too difficult. So he says, it's getting too difficult? What's getting difficult? You know, this is a person that had a following, the mamash. So he says, the melchama against the Yetzirah is getting too difficult. So he says, Zayde, at your age, he's his 90s. He says, till the last second, the Yetzirah lot nishtap. He doesn't leave you till the last second. That's what he says. It's an Adam Gadol. This is a person that was a Baal Avodah mamish. Mamish, a Baal Musar, a Baal Avodah. He says, till the last second, doesn't let you go. A person always has to be on guard. You could be a Baal Madrega, you could have attained Mayrithi Kazachim. But if you give in to that Yetzer Hara, if you're not on guard, he can cop you, mamish, nishayach. That's a tremendous lesson from the Kima Astil. He reached the madrega of being on the throne, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end, discarded him. Vayavar Yishai, Pasuk test, Vayavar Yishai Shama. Yishai brought the next son forth. Vayayimer Gamba Zeh Leibachar Hashem. Hashem did not choose him either. Vayavar Yishai Shivas Bonav Lufnei Shmuel. Seven sons. All seven. Vayayimer Shmuel Al Yishai Leibachar Hashem Ba'elah. Hashem has not chosen any of these. Because he didn't get the message from Hashem like he said. Radak speaks out. Hashem says, when I tell you, you will anoint him to be the king. Seven sons passed. He has not yet received the message to anoint him as the king. Vayayimer Shmuel al Yishai, Pasuk Yud Beis. Shmuel said to Yishai, Hatamu hana'arim? Are these all of your boys? Vayayimer, he says, Oishar hakotan. The little one is still left. Vihinei roya batsayin, and behold, he is shepherding the sheep. Vayayimer Shmuel al Yishai, and Shmuel said to Yishai, Shilcha, send for him, v'kochenu, and take him here. We will not sit down to dine. They had already brought Karbanis. Karbanis were waiting. We will not sit down to dine ad boyoy until he comes here. What does it mean, oit shoar hakotan? The little one, the small one, is still left. In Digduk, it should have said, oit nishar hakotan. The small one was left behind. Notice we didn't summon him yet. But here it says, Oy Shoar HaKotan. What's the difference? So the Sefer Mishpat Zohar and other Svarim say, the word Oy Nisha would mean he was left behind for a reason. There was some siba of why he was left behind. Either, we didn't call him or whatever. Oy Shoar HaKotan implies that this is his metzias. He always keeps himself behind. He is humble. He doesn't feel that he's royal gdula. So it may very well be that if he heard that the brothers were being summoned for some important event, this is his metzias, oy shoar hakotan. That is who he is. He leaves himself behind. He doesn't push himself to be in the forefront. That was Taki Dovin HaMelech. That is Taki Dovin HaMelech. The word David has in it the words Dalid, Vav, Dalid. So the Sfarim HaKdoshim say the letter Dalid is Dal, impoverished. Dovin HaMelech considered himself lowly. The Vav is the Vav HaChibur. He's always attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then after that, he still holds himself to be a Dal. Despite his close relationship to Hashem, he's still Dalit in the beginning, Vav in the middle, Dalit at the end. This is in direct opposite to Goig Melech Magoig. Goig is Gimel, Vav, Gimel. The Gimel is Goimel. He feels he's giving everything to society. He is the master of society, right? The Gimel in the beginning and the Gimel at the end, and the Vav, he also holds himself. By the way, the Rishonim speak out, many of them, that Goig is Iran. Persia, which is today Iran, that is going to be Mohammed's Goig Magoig, is with Iran. Yecheskel, Sukkimer, they point in that direction. Tremendous Bala Gaiva, they feel that they are the Goimelim of the world, they are, you know, the blessing to the world. The end result will be they're going to have a Mapola to the Zari Shel David, who holds himself small. The Dalid will be Minatzeach over the Gimel. The Dalid, those that hold themselves small, will be victorious over the Gimel, those that hold that they're giving everything to society. But that's Oishar HaKokam. This is his Metzias. He keeps himself small. He leaves himself behind. The Ramami Panu, one of the Mekubalim, says, Amari the Kipshat. The Zayir HaKadosh says that Dovin HaMelech was supposed to be Nifter right when he was born. Other Marishan gave 70 of his years to Dovin HaMelech, so the Dovin HaMelech should be alive. Apparently, other Marishan saw that the ticket of the world is going to come through Dovin HaMelech, and through Zari Shel David. David will be the cause of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. He will fight the wars of Klal Yisrael, and the Zera of David will eventually be the Melech HaMashiach. So other Marishan saw that with Ruach HaKadosh, so he gave 70 years to Dovin HaMelech. That's why Yishai said, Oishar HaKotan. He considered him left over. He was left alive because of Adam Arishan. And apparently Yishai knew this, that he was left alive only because of the matana that Adam Arishan had given him. So that's why it says, Oishar HaKotan. He called him Sharayim. He's left over still from the years of Adam Arishan. For that, Shmuel HaNavi answered, Shilchav de Kochenu, Kiloino Soiv. Literally, it means we're not going to sit down to dine. Kiloino Soiv, because the cycle of Adam Arishan will not be complete, Adboyaypoy. The whole purpose of Adam Arishan giving 70 of his years is only because he saw that the Tachlis of the Bria will come to fruition with Dovin HaMelech. Kiloino Soiv, a lotion of Soivay, a lotion of a cycle. The cycle of Adam Arishan will not be complete until Dovin HaMelech. Dovin becomes the king, and he will be the tachlis of the Bria. I once heard from my Rosh Yeshiva, Hagoyin Rav Isaac Osman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, why is it that Dovin HaMelech's years had to come from Adam Arishan B'davka? There is a medrash that says that Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov donated some of their years. But the Zohar HaKadosh, the Ramami Panu says, is based on I believe, the Zohar HaKadosh, that Adam Arishan gave 70 of his years to Dovin HaMelech. He says because Adam Arishan was the direct creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Dovin represents the tikkun of the entire Bria. The years of Dovin had to be the original years that Hashem granted to Adam Arishan directly. The same way Adam Arishan created, the same way Hashem created Adam Arishan with his hand, Yitir Kapar Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the time allotted to David had to be the original time that was allotted to the Yitir Kapar Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because David was sort of like the icing on the cake of the original Adam. This is why the years also had to come from Adam Arishan. There is a Pliya Atzuma over here. Yishai, why did he bring seven of his sons and he didn't think of bringing David? Like, He should have summoned all of them. And the same way he passed the other sons in front, he should have summoned for Dovid Lechatchila. It sounds like he summoned all of his sons, they all came, and Shmuel says, none of these are fit. There's no other sons. Yeah, there is one left over there. He's by the sheep. Like, what happened over here? Like, an afterthought, he sent for Dovid. Why didn't he bring Dovid Lechatchila? What's the pshat? So there's a Mayridikya Kitzvei HaArizal that says the following. We know that Rus HaMoyavio came into Klal Yisrael based on the famous drasha, Lo Yovei Amoini Umoyovi Bikal Hashem. And Chazal Darshan and Boyaz was mefarsing this drasha in front of 10 people. Amoini V'loy Amoinis Moyovi V'loy Moyovi. The Isser of Amin and Moyav was only said on the male. It was not said on the Nekevites. The male of Rus HaMoyavia was allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. And Yishai was her grandson. But the drasha was not so well known yet in those days. No, there was a big machlokes about it. You know, people said, oh, Boyaz only did it. He only darshened it because he wanted to marry Rus. There was a lot of, a lot of machlokes then. It wasn't so partial. Atkidei kach, that Yishai himself felt that he is a Mayav. And he thought about it. He did a lot of soul searching. He was married to a regular woman of Tzadekis. And then he thought to himself, I think I'm a Mayavi. I'm not allowed to be married to her. And therefore he once went over to one of his shivchas. He decided he was going to marry a shivcha because he was a Mayavi. Yishaimim, there's one nusach from the Kisvei Arizal, that he wanted at least one of his children to be kosher. If he marries a shivcha and she conceives a child and then he frees her, she becomes a yid, then the child is a regular yid without the stigma of what he had before, because it goes after the mother. So he wanted at least one child to be able to intermarry into Klal Yisrael. So he went over to the shivcha and he told the shivcha, I want to marry you, prepare yourself for tonight. The shivcha was loyal to her mistress, that was Yishai's Rebbetzin. She told her about it. And she said, listen, he wants me to live with him tonight. You go in the stiff. She said, what can I do? She says, it's already been 3 years since he was pirish from me, since he separated himself from me because he thinks he's Mayavi. So she said, I'll tell you what, tonight, you go instead of me. I shall be out, whatever. I'll... And that's what they did. And she lived with her husband instead of the shivcha. It turned out she conceived the child. And Yishai was tricked, and he saw she conceived the child. He thought that she was Mizan. And he thought that she's Chayav Misa. The sons, her own sons, wanted to kill her because she was Mizana. She was an Ashes Ish. She didn't say a word. She did not want to be, the Mavaza the Shivcha and give away the secret. And the end was that David was born. And they held that David was an illegitimate child, and he was a Mamzer. And that's why he became a shepherd. Those days, the shepherd was a bozidike avoida. And he was in a sakonidike place. One of them, the person speaks out, I think the Sifsei Kayin speaks out that secretly they were hoping that he would be killed. There were lions and bears. The Pasuk says, Gamas ha'ari, Gamas ha'doi, the lion and the bear I killed. That was an area where there were lions and bears. And it could be they were secretly hoping that he's a mamzer. He shouldn't be Machshel Klal Yisrael by intermarrying with them. David HaMelech, for the first 29 years of his life, was ostracized by his mishpacha. The Pasuk says, and it's really a chazal, that he ate at a separate table. The Pasuk says, Muzer ha'yisi le'achoy. I was considered a stranger to my brothers, v'nochri le'vneim. I was a foreigner. He had to sit by a separate table. He's a mamzer. He doesn't have the status of a regular Ben Yisrael. They did not consider him part of the regular family. And I hate to have my idea. With all of that, Dovin HaMelech, Chazal says to Gemara in the Tefes Brachas, that Me'yomai, Me'oilom, Lo'over alai Chatzoy, Laila, Bishina. He never went through Chatzoy sleeping. He was always Isaac and Torah. He was connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was a shepherd, but during the time of being a shepherd, that's when he was mechaber many of the kapitlos of Tillim. In his tsar, in his loneliness, he cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's self-understood why Yishai Lecheskela was the furthest thing from his mind that this mamzer in his eyes, this illegitimate child, should be Roy for Malchus. And it came as a shock to everybody that David HaMelech, this person that they had ostracized, that he became the Melech. So you understand why Yishai did not bring him Lechatkila. And as a Peladiki Gemara and Psochim, Daf Kuf Yutesam and Aleph, the Gemara speaks about Hallel over there. Different Psukim and Hallel. So, says in the Gemara, Omar Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Omar Rav Yonis. Oidcho ki anisoni. That pasuk, Oidcho ki anisoni, I thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki anisoni, you answered me, Vatihili Lishua. Who said that pasuk? David HaMelech was mechaber that pasuk. Even Moasu Havoinim, the stone that the builders had discarded, Hoysol Rosh Pina, became a cornerstone. Who said that? Yishai. He was the Bain, he was the God, one of the Gdali Adar, and he had discarded his own son. Hoysol Rosh Pina, he became the cornerstone of Kal Yisrael. That was Yishai. Eish Hashem Hoysazai, who said that? The brothers. Who said that? Shmuel Hanavi said that. And it goes on, it speaks about the different psukim. But that's what happened at this maimed over here. The least possible thing that would be Ayla al-Dateyim, which one of the brothers? He wasn't even considered a brother. He was considered Muzer Ha'isi Le'echoy. And Afal Pikein, he was the one that was Ayla al-Kulam. And he became the Melech Yisrael. And he becomes the tikkun, not only the Melech Yisrael of that time, but it's his children that are going to be involved in the tikkun of the entire Bria. This should give each and every one of us tremendous chizuk. Every yachid has his own nisyonos. Sometimes life is easier, sometimes life is harder. And sometimes when we're going through a difficult time, we feel so alone. A lot of times you can't confide in other people, you know. Very difficult a lot of times when a person's in a tzara to tell others about it. Sometimes you're embarrassed or whatever, and you feel all alone. The only one you have is HaKadosh Baruch. And a person goes through the Siyanis, and he maintains his emuna, and he fights on, and he goes weiter, and he continues his avoidin. Who knows about what I'm accomplishing? Does anybody know? You wonder if they know about it up there. Do they realize up there how difficult it is for me to go through my Nisayin right now? David HaMelech was a yachid for 29 years. He had to go through the tzara. For 29 years, he didn't have family. Didn't have any family. His family had discarded him. He had only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what happened at the end? When the time finally came, he became the Reish of Gan Klal Yisrael. The Medrash tells us that in the olden days, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, who compiled the history of Klal Yisrael, the various Nevi'im throughout the various generations. And they spoke about the Tzaddikim, they spoke about their accomplishments, they spoke about the victories of Klal Yisrael and the victories of the Tzaddikim. Bizman Hazeh, who writes about the individuals in Klal Yisrael? Who writes about what they go through? Who writes about their tests, about their Nisyonos, about their Nitzchonos, about their victories? HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates, and Eliyahu HaNavi writes, and L'Asad Lovay is going to be this big sefer of all of the accomplishments of Klal Yisrael. And it doesn't have to mean the people that are the Gdolei Hador. Every single individual is chavah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single individual who passed the test of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he maintains his emunah, b'tochen and Hashem, and he maintains the schedule of his avodah. And even if sometimes we falter, but we pick ourselves up to go weiter, every single individual will have that history. Now, because Baruch Hu is giving them a farsing, their victories li'ayim. And that's really why David HaMelech represents the hopes of Klal Yisrael for the future. Because only somebody that went through the tzaras of David HaMelech, and by the way, this tzara just came to an end with David HaMelech, he faced a lot more tzaras afterwards. Once he became the Melech, he faced with defies. He faced family problems. There was all kinds of tzaras and the shyness. And David HaMelech, he remained the same faithful shepherd. The anuf, the doubt, he remained attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I once heard from my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Gifta Zatzal, David HaMelech wrote Sefer Tehillim. Is it a coincidence that the Melech Yisrael wrote Tehillim? Happens to be he was Melech, happens to be he wrote Tehillim, or maybe they go hand in hand. So he said, David HaMelech was Melech Yisrael because he ruled over himself. He was in touch with every single emotion of his being. And only someone that's in touch and masters every single feeling within himself, and he's able to express it in song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ups, the downs, the nisyonos, it was b'davka David HaMelech, who was the Melech over himself. He mastered every emotion, every feeling. He is the one that's able to write a Sefer Tehillim that represents all of the possible emotions of Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. But David HaMelech represents Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael goes through ups and downs, tzaros, golos after golos, test after test. So it's the Yochid that faced all of those nisyonos more than anybody else. He'll be the one, or his children will be the one, to elevate us from the golos. It's kedai to bring over here a mashoveh from the Heilige Chofetz Chaim regarding the end of our tzaros, regarding Bias HaMashiach. Chofetz Chaim, Mamash, Ruach Kotzeh, it's like a medicine for the heart. A medicine for the heart. Chofetz Chaim on this week's parasha asks a question. Malachim come, and one of them says, you know, that in a year, Sarah is going to give birth to a child. Patitzchak Sarah v'kir v'leimor, she's laughing to herself. Achrei v'loisi, hoiseli edna, after I become withered and old, I'm going to have a refreshing of my skin. V'abenizokin, and my husband is old. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tainas on Sarah Imenu. Why did Sarah Imenu laugh? Is anything beyond Hashem to accomplish? And Hashem said again, the next year Sarah will have a child. Picture to yourself a taina on Sarah Imenu. It's very schwer to understand. Rambam asks on Sarah Imenu. She was such a great tzaddikis. What's that of a child that she didn't believe? The Rambam says, these three people appeared like Arabs. Imagine three prostitute goyim coming to your house and they tell you something which is ridiculous. The 90-year-old woman's going to give birth. So she's mechuyev to believe them. You look at them like they're crazy. Rambam says, you know what she should have said? She should have said, Amen Kengi Rotzai. Nothing's impossible for Russia. Now it's self-understood that Sari Menu did not, it says Bikirba. Bikirba means deep, deep, deep down inside. There was the tiniest little suffix in her heart. Not the shot she openly scoffed. Bikirba means within her. Deep down inside, Hashem Yirah La'Levav, like we spoke, something that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to detect. That's the tiny answer remain. So the Chofetz Chaim asks a question. Why does the Torah make a big deal out of this? Sari Menu. But she was Moshe Nefesh for Avraham Avinu. She went blindly with him to a foreign land. She went through a Torah Paray, a Torah with Abimelech. She was Mevuzah. She worked hard at the Achmasas Orachim. She and Avraham Avinu worked mamish hand in hand, being machmas people, Tachas Kantrei Ashvina. See, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be Mevazer and the Torah for Dor Doris. Every year we lay in this parasha that Sari Menu was laughing within herself. That this parish is meant as chizuk for all of us. There's going to come a time when Knesset Yisrael is going to feel old. They've gone through the bitter golos. They've gone through one Hester Panim after the other. They've gone through one Tzara after the other without fail. And we feel tired and worn out. We've gone through the golos for thousands of years. And we say, I believe every day in the coming of Mashiach. We're going to really think to ourselves, really, is it ever going to happen? After I'm so worn out, after I'm so old, is it ever possible for me to have that awakening again? And deep down inside we have a question. The Nevi'im were not able to bring Mashiach. The Anshei Knesset HaGdayla, the Tanoim, the Amoraim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, the Vilna Gaon, the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, Einar Alein, was not able to bring Mashiach. So we Lilliputs will be able to bring Mashiach. How is that possible? And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hayipolei Mehashem Dovar. Is anything removed from Hashem? At the time you think it's the least shayach, that's Gufa, the time that I can bring Mashiach. From Sari, Meinu, Hashem, the Dafka mentioned this over here. Yes, you'll feel old and withered. Yes, you'll feel all dried out. But look at Sari, Meinu, and look at what happened to her. And because of that, the whole birth of Klal Yisrael. The same thing over here. When you think things are over, when you think it's beyond, it's not going to happen. Hayipolei Mehashem Dover. So I talk to Chofetz Chaim. This question, if the Gdolim of previous generations could not bring Mashiach, how are we going to bring Mashiach? He says that question is a mistake, the Yisoyde. Because the question assumes that each generation brings Mashiach separately. But that's not true. It's the collective actions of all of the generations. The mitzvahs of the Nevi'im and the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim and the Tanoim and the Amoraim, we're talking much smaller than them, but we are those midgets on the shoulders of giants. We have them backing us. They're our foundation. So together with them, we will all bring the Gula. That is the lesson to be learned from this. And the emesis from the anointing of David Gufa. How likely was it that David HaMelech was going to be anointed? How likely was that to happen? That Gufa teaches us that the Melech HaMashiach is going to come at a time when we think it's unlikely. I just want to mention one more short thing. And that is, later on in Parshas Vayeshev, with the story of Yehuda and Tamar, the Torah tells us how Tamar gave birth to children. First it says, one of them stuck out his hand, ready to come out. And the Mialedes tied a red string around his hand. All of a sudden, the other son bursts out. He brings his hand back. The other one bursts out. She says, Ma poratza olecha peretz. Like, why did you come with Shekayach? And then afterwards, the other one followed. So Yaakov Kamenetsky asks, first of all, why did the birth happen in such a strange manner? And why does the Torah tell us the whole business about this child coming out? And what was pshat? So he says, the Torah is telling us how the Melech HaMashiach is going to come. We know that peretz is the father of the Melech HaMashiach, David, Al-Yad ben Yishai ben Parsi. He comes from Peretz. That's where the Melech HaMashiach comes from. The Torah is telling us how the Melech HaMashiach is going to come. They all expected that the first child is going to be somebody else totally. That's the way Klal Yisrael is going to be looking for their Yeshua. They'll be looking in other directions. When all of a sudden, the Melech HaMashiach will come from a totally different direction. The Yeshua of Klal Yisrael will come totally in an unexpected way. To which others want to add, Klal Yisrael thought that Yeshua is going to be with the Haskalah, with mingling with the Goyim. Then it became nationalism and communism and Zionism and Kol Minei Zachim. That's going to be their Yeshua. The end result is going to be they all look one direction and the Yeshua is going to come from a totally different direction, from the unexpected. That's what the Torah tells us over here with Sari Yemenu. The Taka is a strange thing. Just when you think it's impossible, that's when the Gula will finally come. May we be zeichet of the Gula, the Karev Yemenu. Agutavav, everybody. Sure.
Second.
Finally, the smart thing.